Hello, everyone, and welcome in to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined, as always, on a Friday morning, a snowy Friday morning, by my good friend, Rich Rebar. We are going to break down, from a betting perspective, the four divisional round games. We got good games. I am actually, honestly, I'm expecting all of these games, other than Green Bay, San Francisco, to offer a little bit of intrigue. I don't think Green Bay, San Francisco is going to be all that intriguing, but Stroud will make the Ravens sweat for at least like 5 seconds, you know, and Lamar might make the Ravens sweat for a sec. You know, it's very interesting. But I think we all have mostly good games here. We had some good games last week, even, you know, it was all right. Super Wild Card weekend was all right.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, not really. We didn't have that many close games, which is always unfortunate. At least you want to like have something towards the end of the game, right? Like just anything to kind of have us latch onto. They were kind of one-sided games. Props to the Packers. You were on it. I thought the Packers had no shot of winning that game, and they cooked. I was lucky to get out of there a Dallas team total that I
Yeah,
didn't deserve.
the reverse though was I thought the Eagles were gonna handle their business.
Oh
I thought
yeah,
the Eagles were gonna
no,
get
they couldn't.
right. And
You ever
you
seen a
know,
team quiet quit like that in the playoffs? Like when's the last time like in the play? Because we've seen teams do that. Like we were just like 3 weeks ago, like the Chargers.
the 2021 Philadelphia Eagles against
Yeah.
the Buccaneers. Remember that? I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
they just folded. They were like, you know what? We don't got the horses. Yeah, the Chargers. The Chargers are a good one. Remember the Connor Cook Raiders playoff start?
Yeah.
That was
It's funny, yeah.
a quitting.
Then the Eagles looked like they just had no interest in playing that game. They just looked ill prepared, looked like no one wanted to play. They were ready to just punch their bags, man. Just
You gotta fire Sirianni, right? I mean, it feels like you can't. To me, I mean, McCarthy is the most obvious firing because you can't have your team get skunked like that at home in a playoff game. But I think you could argue Sirianni's worse because your job as a head coach, more or less, is to get your guys ready to play, to have them ready to go. Like, especially if you are a guy who doesn't call plays, which Sirianni does not. What would you say you do here, Nick Sirianni, if you've got everyone showing up and no one fucking wants to be there? Like, what is your job, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's stuff that I think is going to come out. And I saw, like, we're recording this Friday morning. They're meeting today, right? Isn't it Jeffrey Lowry? They're meeting today, like, to
Yeah.
kind of discuss everything. It's curious. It'd be interesting to see what happens after that meeting. Because, like you said, he's not a coordinator. You know, a lot of these coaches have a two-way go, right? Like, they do something else with the organization. Like, Sirianni is a delegator, which is, you know, we don't have many of those. There's not many of those coaches around anymore.
And a lot of the ones that are delegators, they're out, right? I mean, they're being replaced. Vrabel replaced, gone. Belichick gone. You know, these dele and I mean the Belichick
He was
things.
the GM, baby.
Yeah, we could do an hour on
Yeah,
like the last like 24 months of the Patriots and Bill Belichick and GM and like why it actually makes no sense for the Falcons to hire him. It'd be like it's gonna be like one of the worst hires of all time. It's gonna be so, because you know he's just gonna hire one of his buddies as a coach. Something I had not realized, people pointed this out on Twitter, was that his assistants are just bailing. Like the wide receiver coach for the Patriots this year quit mid-season to go be hired as the Syracuse University wide receivers coach. Like even people who have been loyal to him forever are just like, dude, I don't want no fucking part of this anymore. This sucks, which is kind of interesting.
yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out. But hey, man, we got all off season to talk about these coaches. We still got some good games, and only one of these isn't a rematch from the rest of the regular season. So historically, though, this has been a good round of the postseason. Favorites still are like really good, but favorites are really bad at covering. Like underdogs have been great, which means we're getting closer games than implied in this round usually. I mean, underdogs are 47 and 37 against the spread since these NFL went to 32 teams. So we've got some big lines too. Like three of these four games are pretty big lines. I think you can
Yeah.
make the case for every underdog covering this week. The last time all four favorites covered in the divisional round was 2006. So we do get closer games than implied this week, and hopefully we do get some this weekend.
Yeah. All right. First game, we have the Houston Texans traveling to play against the Baltimore Ravens. Of the two main huge spreads, certainly I could say it is would be more likely that the Texans would cover versus the Ravens. You know, Lamar obviously is amazing, but at the end of the day, the Ravens are a team that wants to play good defense and run the ball, and that's just going to lead to narrower spreads. Now, the Ravens have like really death starred some people, and I think there are maybe two wrinkles left that's left for them to play that we haven't really seen them do. The first one is taking Odell Beckham Jr. off a restriction, off a snap count restriction. And I know it's like, oh, Odell Beckham Jr., like, it's 2024. What are we doing? I mean, he's probably their best wide receiver, actually. Honestly, he probably is better than Flowers, like, given that Flowers just has so much left to learn. And I think we are going to see the secret of the Ravens thing is the 12 personnel, which, weirdly, they didn't really do this year. It was the most 11 personnel that they've ever done, which I think was so important for Lamar developmentally, right? Like, just to spend more time in the shotgun, spend more, like, it was the most dropbacks of his career by a lot. But the secret when you are as good of a rushing team as the Ravens are is 12 personnel. If both the tight ends can run routes and catch passes, is you just, I mean, we saw the Packers do it to the Cowboys last week. It fucks everything up for the defense. So I'm still taking the Ravens. No disrespect intended to CJ Stroud, who's been unbelievable, but I'm still taking the Ravens -9, 9.5 here.
Yeah, I think this game is a shot to go over too. You know, depending. I saw there was some stuff, you know, early, but like we saw like last week, like, and when we get to the 11th hour, like a lot of these things move in the NFL. I mean, the weather really didn't impact a lot last week. Granted, the Bills game got moved. That it did impact that. But by the time the Bills played, like, it was just cold and it was fine. The Chiefs played in the cold, but like that game really, like, Mike McDaniel impaired more of that game, or Tua impaired more of that game than any type of weather. Like, the Chiefs threw the ball fine in that game. So, and then when we got to the Buccaneers game, there was no weather stuff there. So I think even this week, you know, we'll wait just till the games go, but we probably won't get there. I think this game has a shot to go over. I think that the Ravens, I definitely think, will throw better than they did the first time these teams. So these teams played all the way back in the season opener, which literally was a whole other year ago.
Yeah.
It was Stroud's first career start. I will say though, like, the Ravens in general, like, just having Lamar is such a huge difference. I mean, you look at him, the past 3 years, they're 28-12 with him, 3-7 without him. He is 1-3 in the playoffs. So, like, people, until he, like, finally gets over that hump, we're going to see the same stuff. If they lost this game, like, Twitter's going to be unbearable, right? Like, the Lamar.
I can't even. It's like, honestly, I would be more. I mean, I'm going to be really upset, obviously, if the Chiefs lose, but I'm going to be a similar amount of upset if the Ravens and Lamar lose this game.
I don't think they will. Everything lines up better. I mean, you look at where Houston's had a lot of their disadvantages is they've been really bad against the play action pass. They're 31st in the NFL in yards per pass attempt against play action. They're 30th in completion rate allowed against play action. Obviously, Lamar's been excellent in those two categories this season. And when the Houston hasn't gotten pressure on the quarterback, they've been even, you know, just as bad, 27th in completion rate, 25th in yards per pass attempt. Lamar, though, has had his best year under pressure. He leads the NFL in yards per pass attempt under pressure this season. So even if they do get home, I think Lamar's going to have a pretty solid game. And then you look at Houston, they've been a very, you know, cattywampus team, like, on the road and at home. Stroud, 308 passing yards per game at home, 231 per game on the road. We've seen guys in Baltimore, like, Baltimore's been, like, really dusted some teams in Baltimore this season. I probably don't want to lay these points. I feel like Saturday is a perfect teaser spot, you know, if you want to do this.
I have already bet this. Not the teaser, but the combo of the -9 of both of them. So I've got I think if you take the Ravens 49ers, both -9.5, you can get it to, I think it's +290. If you move it down to a touchdown, so if you just move it to -6, it's +130, I think.
Yeah, you can do the traditional, but you can do the -7 and take both teams to -2.5. I think that's probably pretty solid too as well. You could pair this game, I think, with another game too. Like, you could take the Bucks up to, like, you know, if you want to do like the 6-pointer, you take the Bucks up to like 12.5, or, you know, the Chiefs or whatever. But this feels like a big teaser weekend, because we got some of these huge lines, or you could take some of these teams up. Like, you can just take the the Texans up to like 16 and a half, you know, if you wanted to do something like that. But definitely there's a lot of fun you can have with it. But yeah, I think I'm more like on the over bringing this down tighter. I think there you can make an argument, I think, just to take the big number and just hope that like, you backdoor the 9.5. But I think the Ravens definitely win this game, though, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd be
So
surprised.
what I'm worried about with the Texans is just that they just don't have any. It's kind of the same problem as the Chiefs in the sense of like they've got one really good wide receiver and it's kind of just all on Stroud to do his thing, which
Yeah.
works. I mean it worked phenomenally against the Cleveland Browns and the Colts or whatever. And to Bobby
You
Slowick's
also
credit.
gotta you face the team that we knew going in, and we talked about it here last week. Like, listen, Flacco's been turning the ball over. Like, you get in the
Yes.
playoffs, like if you lose the turnover battle in the playoffs, like it's magnified even better. And the Texans took advantage of that rematch. We even talked about the rematch potentially being just better for the Texans because they were getting Flacco for a second time and they were able to calibrate, and they did. They let Derek Stingley shadowed Amari Cooper. They kind of took him out of like the game plan a little bit. And you know, when Amari didn't have 270 receiving yards, the Browns were a little bit grasping for some other players to do something on offense outside of him and Njoku, because that team had no run game the entire year after the Chubb injury. And it did. They took advantage of it. But this weekend, I mean, are they going to be able to do stuff like that? Like, we're going to get Mark Andrews back. Like, we've got just better ancillary guys in the Ravens. They're like, no one's a world beater. Like, Odell's not a world beater, but like he had averaged his highest yards per catch of his career, his
Yeah.
most yards per target since 2015. Like, he was an effective downfield player. Even the Dusty guys, like, they get a little bit out of Aguilar. They've got a little bit out of, you know, obviously I likely played well the final month, and they're gonna probably not put him completely back in the bottle, like you said. So like they've got some guys here, whereas the Texans, it's really just Nico Collins. And then, like, the secondary guys are Dalton Schultz and Devin Singletary. And against this Ravens defense, it's hard to see those guys, like, really doing a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is just going to be. It is just going to be very difficult. So I think it's just an up and you know, it doesn't mean CJ Stroud is bad. It does, you know, we don't need like he already has accomplished quite a bit getting to the stage and winning a playoff game, losing
Yeah,
to
they won the division and won a playoff game in his rookie year. Like, shit, it's a double. That's a win.
Yeah, it is. All right. The Green Bay Packers traveling to the San Francisco 49ers. I did Dynasty rankings this week. I went through and redid all of
I need
them.
to do those next week.
I moved Jordan Love in Superflex tight end premium up to 10th overall. And you could tell me honestly, you could be like, Davis, I think he should be six. And I'd be like, I don't know, probably. Like Jordan Love was so successful and really did just like look at the eyes of that Cowboys defense and said, you guys can't do shit against me. Like he was so impressive, really, the last month of the season. All of that being said, the concerns that you had last week about the Packers against that Cowboys offense, I mean, but dude, they are so screwed here. Like if the 49ers want to, I think they'd be able to put up 50 here. I do not. I think it's. I see worlds where the Texans can cover. I don't think the Texans win. I really don't see very many worlds where the Packers cover and. It would be one of the biggest upsets in the playoffs that I could remember if the Packers found a way to win this game. The 49ers are well rested. It's been 3 weeks since they've had to play a real game. That's another thing too for the Ravens is they were a little bit banged up and they got 3 weeks without having to play. Like it is such an advantage for the 49ers that I think they're just going to absolutely steamroll here.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers were the biggest surprise for me last week. They were awesome. And you look at what Joe Barry did to kind of slow down Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. They blitzed at their one of their lowest rates of the season. They were a heavy blitz team. They actually got the least amount of pressure of any wild card team last week. They just dropped back and played like a ton of coverage and invited the Cowboys to kind of check the runs. In the first half, it was frustrating, right? Because the Cowboys were getting into third and longs regularly because they kept running on second down because Dak kept having to check. He kept getting these looks and kept checking the runs. And you're not going to do that against the 49ers, right? Like, that's just not like you're kind of damned if you don't, right? Like, if you're going to make the 49ers, you're going to play coverage, they're just going to run Christian McCaffrey down your throat, right? And then if you want to come up and you want to play man coverage, if you want to do what the Joe Barry's done for the large bulk of the year, play a lot of cover three, play a lot of cover one, then guys like Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle are going to decimate you, right? Because, you know, no one's been better against those coverages this year than Brock Purdy, you know. So you look at it, he's got the highest completion rate against cover three, the highest yards per pass attempt. That's like the base defense the Packers have run this year. When the 49ers have had everyone healthy, because they lost like that three game span where they didn't really have Debo or Trent Williams, but when they have
And
had
Purdy got
Debo,
concussed.
when they had Purdy, Debo, McCaffrey, Ayuk, and Kittle all on the field this year, they've averaged 7.3 yards per play on offense.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely just an absurd number. They are just a team like that. They're just hard to defend, right? Like, because there's so many they're so multifaceted. Whereas like the Cowboys weren't, right? Like the Cowboys didn't have a good run game all year. Outside of CeeDee Lamb, not a lot of guys did a lot for them over the course of the season. And they slowed down CeeDee Lamb in the first half of that game. He got all his stuff late. And the 49ers don't really have like an offense that's built that way. You know, you take one guy away, the another one pops up, right? Like they are the ultimate Hydra on offense. So it is going to be a tough spot, I think, for the Packers to slow down this offense. And I do think that there could be some point potential here for the Packers at some point, because we've seen the 49ers be kind of fallible at moments for a good defense.
And
And
Jordan Love is awesome, and the wide receivers are all good. There, you want to talk about a Hydra? It's like the ninth wide receiver on the Packers, Bo Melton, would probably be the second best wide receiver on the Chiefs. Like, imagine Bo Melton on the Chiefs. He'd be, dude, he'd be crushing it.
since week 11, the only quarterback with a higher rating than Jordan Love is Purdy. So 21 touchdowns, one interception over that span. And it's like you said, it's the winning off of platform, right? Because we saw it again with Tua on Saturday night. And you know, Goff's been that way forever. Like, you got to be able to win off structure in the NFL. When the play doesn't win, can your quarterback still make the play win? And Jordan Love's kind of shown that he has that
Yeah.
ability. So you feel good if you're a Packers fan. You know, kudos to you.
Yeah.
Mea culpa
No,
on me.
fuck Packers fans, right? It's just like, it's like, great. All right. You got Favre, you got Rodgers, and like, oh, we thought for like 2 seconds Jordan Love might be a bust. You know, that first start against the Chiefs, he was awful. Kind of started this year a little slow, you know, and then nope. All right. It's all over. So it's great. We tried. We did not succeed. And now Jordan Love is awesome. And it's brutal, honestly. From the outside looking in, it's like they can't keep getting away. Imagine being a Bears fan and just knowing that your organization has no clue how to find a quarterback, and the Packers don't know how to not have a quarterback. It's unbelievable.
Dan, I
Can't
think
do it.
Matt LaFleur, obviously everyone on this coaching tree has been kind of the story of the season, right? Like, this coaching
Oh,
tree
yeah.
is cooking. You want a guy from this tree. And you know, I think LaFleur gets it. I think what the adjustments they've made in season shows that they're like a team that understands the assignment.
How many more guys are there from this tree to get hired?
I mean, they just keep breeding him now. So, like, you know, like Bobby Slowick got the job last year. We'll just continue to see what goes on, you know, how often these guys get jobs. But that's
You
kind of
want?
been the story of the year.
Do you think there's a chance that Slowick is a 1 year offensive coordinator and gets a head coach job this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it would be tough, but
It'd be pretty wild.
who knows?
Yeah.
Teams love to hire stuff, like make those kind of hires though. So, and we've seen teams get younger and younger. I'd
Oh
rather
yeah.
see a guy, the guys like Slowik at least get a shot than versus like the retreads, right? Like,
Oh yeah.
the team I feel the worst for is the Raiders, and because they all and the fan base wants Antonio Pierce, and I get why they want him. He's like a rah-rah dude, but like, we've seen like that style of coach like definitely burns like out quick in the NFL, and
He's
the
gonna
Raiders
get fired. He's gonna get fired by like week 14 next year.
and the Raiders beat nobody. Like, they beat Easton Stick. They
No,
beat,
they beat the Chiefs, buddy.
well, they didn't complete a pass for three quarters in that game. But all the way, look at the, or here are the Antonio Pierce's wins. They beat the Giants when Daniel Jones left the game and then DeVito came in. Then they beat Zach Wilson the week after that. Also, they like come back and like Michael Mayer caught a touchdown game. Then they beat Easton Stick in the game where the Chargers infamously just quit and were like, we're done with you, Brandon Staley. Then
Yeah.
they did beat the Chiefs. And the two pick sixes, and then they beat the Broncos and Jarrett Stidham in week 18. Like, dude, like, cool. Like, the rah-rah run the ball, play defense, like, can beat those teams. But like, dude, like, that's not a winning formula in the NFL. Like, it's just not. Like, in today's NFL, it's just, I respect what Antonio Pierce did, but like, if they make that hire, they're gonna regret it probably in like 2 seasons.
They're gonna regret it. No way. They're gonna regret it like by like week four. They're gonna like lose a home game to the Broncos, and they're gonna be like, fuck. You know, just is it is what it is. All right. Tampa Bay, Detroit. This is where I'm gonna take a dog. I'm gonna take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. Not even really so much about like, oh, I'm a big Buccaneers guy. And I don't even really know. It's the Eagles
Straight up
quit.
or just the points?
I mean, you never take it to never take it never take a dog that you don't think can win. And I think the Buccaneers can win, which would be absolutely insane that the Buccaneers, who were like supposed to be tanking this season and like, oh, you gotta trade Mike Evans because why would he want to play on a tanking team, has a path to be in the NFC Conference Championship. But really, to me, it just highlights how wide open things have gotten for the 49ers. Like once the Cowboys lost and the Eagles decided they didn't care about football anymore, it
And
became
the
like,
Rams losing was big, I think, too, for the 49ers. I think
yeah, that
they
was
match
what.
up better with the Lions than the Rams.
I mean, I really honestly thought the Rams were just going to smoke through that game. So it is not that I have some tremendous amount of disrespect for the Detroit Lions. I guess probably listeners to the show might think that, given that I picked against them last week, I'm picking against them this week. But the thing is they're just like a.
I was on that, dude. I was like, dude, the difference that game could be McVay versus Dan Campbell.
You oh
And
dude, you were so right. Yeah, the punt with, I mean, by the way, that was a horrible sequence and a horrible punt. You want to know the worst punt of the whole year, I think, was Dak taking that miserable, worst sack I've ever seen. Third and five, Dak takes a sack to put them in fourth and 16. But McCarthy calls a punt from his opponent's 42 down 21-0. To me, I think that's gotta be, I don't even care the down and distance. It's got to be the worst punt I've ever seen. I mean, it's totally giving up. Yeah, it was awful. But I just think it's that the Lions, obviously they are the better team. I'm not meaning to even state that. I think they definitely are better, but they're not 6.5 points better. And so if I just think the price, I think this is your classic 3.5 point favorite is what I would make them. Baker obviously is playing phenomenally well. The Lions passing defense is not that good, and it wasn't that good last week. It was more about
No, it's
McVay.
atrocious.
Yeah, it was more about McVay not being able to get them over the mountain than it was about the Lions, defense stepping up. And I mean, Campbell is going to press these edges because he is so aggressive, which I love. And it's not even that I'm rooting against them. And to be honest, healthy Baker Mayfield is probably better than Jared Goff. I really think he probably is.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with Goff is the same story, right? You see it on Sunday night. I mean, if you don't pressure, if you don't disrupt Jared Goff, more so than all the
He'll
road
fucking
splits and like
dice you
people talk
up,
about,
dude.
like, dude, if they can just, yeah, and he was 19 of 19 when he wasn't pressured in that game.
Thought it was
And
22 of 22.
yeah, I mean, I have him at
It's
19 and 19
something insane.
through True Media, but either way, like he only threw for 4.5 yards for pass attempt when the Rams, the very little pressure the Rams got. And
Yeah.
when these teams played earlier in the year, it was the same story. The Buccaneers only pressured Goff on 27% of his dropbacks in week six. He only had one game with a lower pressure rate all year. The Bucs tried. They blitzed him on 38% of his dropbacks. Just none of the blitzes got home. Only 27.8% of the blitzes in that game created pressure. For some context, when they blitzed Jalen Hurts on Monday night, 55% of those blitzes created pressure on Jalen Hurts. Obviously, the Eagles had no damn game plan for the blitz on Monday night. Part of the reason why they quiet quit, but the very little pressure the Bucks got, they were successful. So that's the key, man. Like you have to be able to get pressure on Jared Goff. Like, you have to be able to disrupt him. And if you don't, you're not gonna win. Like the offense is gonna be like, 'cause the Lions' offense, it has guys, and they've got a really core good run game. They've got a real good wide receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown, and their ancillary guys can do enough. And then they've got Laporta still too. So, like, you've got to be able to disrupt Goff because he's going to win in the play structure. We've seen Ben Johnson, too, a guy that gets it. Like, you just have to pressure Goff. And can the Bucks do that? We know they're going to try. We know Todd Bowles is at least going to try. But the reason I think for you, like, the same reason I agree with you is like, this line is too big, is this Lions pass defense, dude, it's just so
It's booty,
bad. Like,
dude. It's
I
so
mean,
bad.
it's not even bad since these teams played in week six. They have allowed the highest yards per pass attempt in the NFL. They're 31st in passing yards per game. They're 29th in touchdown rate. The past 4 weeks, they've allowed a 300-yard passer and multiple passing touchdowns. I mean, Nick Mullins threw for almost 400 yards in both games against them, 411, 396. Dak had 350. Stafford had 370 on Sunday. So I do think there's a lot of opportunity here. And Baker looked healthier on Monday. He actually played really well. Out of the wild card quarterbacks, I thought Baker was one of the better guys. If we get a couple more catches from Mike Evans and K. Dot, and his line looks absolutely bonkers in that game. He was throwing beams in that game. So I think he's the state of the Lions pass defense is going to keep teams around. I know the Buccaneers did not score a touchdown when these teams played earlier in the year. It was only one of two, but that was the same story with the Eagles, right? Like they had their fewest yards in a game against the Eagles, and they came back and we seen with the retrofitted Eagles, defense that was completely worse. They shredded them, and that's kind of the spot here. Like this Lions pass defense is just so much worse than what they faced earlier in the year. And there was a shot for them to make plays in that game. In that game, Mike Evans had a 90-yard touchdown he would have scored on. That was a tip pass that got intercepted. He was completely naked. Baker overthrew Trey Palmer for a touchdown in that game. So there's going to be chances to make plays here. I think this game is definitely tighter. I think this game could potentially go over. But this is another one. Yeah, I think the line is pretty big here.
Yeah, I think you are. I think you are. Yeah, you obviously you're exactly correct. Where we are copacetic here. It's not that I, oh, the Lions stink. Like I'm not. Dan Campbell. Like don't pull the receipt on me. I'm not rooting against you. I just.
I think the Lions win still. I think
Yeah.
6.5's big. I think this is another one. If you're doing the Sunday teaser, even you can make the Bucks larger. You can shrink the Lions. You can take the Chiefs up.
You could
So
do if you were just wanting to do like a little fun same game parlay, I think you do Bucks plus 6.5, Baker like alternate over 300 passing yards, Mike Evans anytime TD, and like David Montgomery over on his rush attempts or something like that.
I already hammered the Rashad White unders in this game. They opened up pretty ludicrous, but I mean, you can't run on the Lions. Honestly, the Lions should think about being worse against the run. They should let teams run on them, right? Like they need more of that old Brandon Staley Chargers mentality. No one's rushed for 69. No running backs rushed for more than 69 yards in a game against them this season, but they just keep funneling people to throw the ball on them, and they can't stop the pass. They should let people run on them a little bit more.
That is, I mean, isn't that's what like a lot, that's what like a lot of, it's like what a lot of teams do is they make that decision. Like they're like, yeah, run on us, brother. We don't care. Just, don't. Teams will do that. Two teams do that against Kansas City a lot, which is a good little say. Well, teams used to do it against Kansas City and now, they're just, Chiefs don't
Yeah,
win any games. All right.
they're boring. Listen, I'm taking the Chiefs to win straight up.
Man, I am having a bad time. I just, I don't, I don't. Ever since it became clear that this was going to be the matchup, I have not been happy about it. I think that the Bills are a better team, and the best thing that the Chiefs can root for is just for McDermott to do what McVay does and just be way too conservative.
Well, I think
Or
it
for.
sets up a lot like last week, right? Like, I mean, the Bills have so many injuries.
Yeah,
It's like
they
the
are very
dog,
banged up.
like the Chiefs got a little bit of a punch up, a little bit of spice on their offense, and they actually looked functional on offense. It's not like the old Chiefs aren't
Well,
walking through that door.
let's not let's say they
I said
looked
functional.
functional. How many fucking times can you get to the 8 yard line and not generate a touchdown? I mean, how many
Yeah.
times we get a block in the back, we get Mahomes thinking he's gonna get a flag for roughing the passer and he doesn't get it. We got Mahomes getting his fucking helmet cracked. It's just like
But we've seen now the last two times the Chiefs have played with their full offense. I mean, they have 400 yards of offense. 5.5 yards per play on Saturday against Miami. The Week 17 game against the Bengals, 7 yards per play. Like they've been moving the football. Like you said, it's the conversions in the red zone that have been like the last obstacle. But I'm not expecting the like 2018 Chiefs to walk through that door at any point. At no point. The same thing I told you like with Eagles. I think like. We can't bet on like that happening. The Chiefs aren't just going to turn it on. They only have three good players on offense. Well, four. I mean, three good players outside of Patrick Mahomes on offense
yeah,
at the skill
how
positions.
about two? How about two? It's
Yeah.
Pacheco and it's Rice. Kelsey,
Yeah.
dude. Kelsey, you are banished from being Travis Kelsey until you go through one game with zero drops. I mean, the
He's still
second
going to be productive here.
he's I don't know, man. Those drops were like that was so out of character. That was the they were t he had 3 in 1 half. Man,
Do you
this is
think he's gonna retire too?
No. I think the only chance of retirement is if they win the Super Bowl.
Because
That's
of
it.
Jay, because Jason, it's like these guys are obviously positioning themselves to do more after football, which obviously, I think Jason's going to have a lot more success than Travis will in that regard. But
I mean,
obviously,
Jason is he is phenomenal
yeah, dude, he's
on the
so good.
microphone. Yeah,
He's
he
great.
but obviously Travis, if he gets married to Taylor Swift, will never have to worry about anything again for the rest of his fucking life. He'll
But
be a
this,
capped
but the
man.
Bills, man, and I know they'll probably get Rasul Douglas back. We'll see if they get Terrell Dotson back, but we know they're not going to have Terrell Bernard. Like, they already had lost Milano and Tre'Vius White. We know that. Like, does Taron Johnson clear concussion protocol? The Chiefs now have a 2-day rest advantage because the Bills game got moved.
Yep.
The Chiefs are literally the under Andy Reid, the best team with rest disadvantage in the league since they've had him. So they're getting all these like micro edges to kind of shave down. And then the one thing I think still the best unit of all the units that are on the field in this game, the
Chiefs
Chiefs
D.
defense is the best unit in
Yeah.
this game. When these teams played, because this is the most recent rematch, they played in week 14 because three of these four games are rematches. The Bills scored on two of their opening three drives. They go up 14-0. They do absolutely nothing the rest of the game. The Chiefs absolutely nuke them. When Josh Allen wasn't pressured in that game, not even under pressure, he was 12 of 23, 4.7 yards per pass attempt. The Chiefs can take away Stephon Diggs, and we've seen.
The death of Stefon Diggs has it's actually not been greatly exaggerated. That like Stefon Diggs has you know the last time Stefon Diggs had a 100-yard game?
It was like week six.
October 15th was the last time he had 100 yards. That's
And this isn't the
wild.
game. So the Chiefs haven't allowed more than 73 yards to a wide receiver one this season. And they faced Tyreek Hill twice, Devontae Adams twice, AJ Brown, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra, Keenan Allen, Ja'Marr Chase. Diggs himself only had 24 yards. And the one thing like the Bills have, like the Chiefs, is if their like star player isn't going, their star player is Josh Allen. He has to carry so much. Like they're very much like the Chiefs on offense in that like they've got Jamokes. Like these guys aren't that good. And we've seen that's why they're so inconsistent on offense is because Josh Allen has to do so much damn lifting now the back half of the year because Stephon Diggs isn't carrying this offense. So you've had some games where James Cook has punched up and they've looked good. You've had a couple moments where Shakir's made some big plays, but like and they finally started to get religion this final month and start to use Kincaid as a downfield player instead of just near the line of scrimmage. But it's literally they've just asked Josh Allen to do the same thing the Chiefs have done with Mahomes this year. Like, dude, here you go, buddy. Win us the game. Like, win us the game because they're not getting anything out of these ancillary guys. And it's why these two teams have been so inconsistent on offense. It's why you see games like the Bills where they beat the Chiefs, right? And then the next week almost come out and lose to the Chargers.
Almost lost the Easton stick.
That's why, because like they don't have like these ancillary playmakers that are reliable. It's literally Josh Allen, Superman us. Superman us some shit, Josh Allen. And like he's done it for the large part because he's that damn good. And I do think the Chiefs defense is the best unit on the field in the game in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, that is 100% correct. All right,
And if those injuries in the middle of the field for the Bills, like if we get to it, and like I said, we don't know who's going to be active yet. But if we come into that game on Sunday, we know like because the Chiefs picked the Dolphins apart in the middle of the field last week. They just picked them apart, like with
Yeah,
Jerome
they
Baker
did.
out.
Imagine if Mecole Hardman actually finished a route one time in his life.
Well, that's what they get. Mecole Hardman has shown 0 points through his career at this point. He's like an actual functional wide
He's
receiver.
better than Sky Moore. I mean, I would rather have Hardman out there. People were saying to me like, "Oh, like Sky, because Sky is back at practice this week," and they're like, "Oh, like yeah, like at least Sky's back, and then we won't have to watch Hardman." I'm like, "No, you guys are wrong. Hardman way better than Sky Moore. Like way, like, not even close. Like way better."
I will say, I think that if you don't like, if you just can't decide, right? Like you're not going to lay the 2.5. You're not going to money line the Chiefs because you don't really need the 2.5. If you're picking the Chiefs at there, like I think this game also still set way too high, right? Like this game, the first time these teams played,
Both teams would prefer to play a game where it went under,
I
honestly.
think it's going under. I think this game is similar to the last time they played. Like I just don't think either of these offenses are going to be able to consistently be good enough to score. And like the Chiefs, like I said, what have they shown us? They're going to score 35 on anybody this year. And I think these two defenses are going to be able to do enough. I think the injuries for the Bills are probably maybe an equalizer where I do kind of give the edge to the Chiefs. I think this game is definitely tight, but it's 45 and a half. So I think that's even too high.
Yeah, I think you are right. Let me read a quote to you from the left tackle of the Buffalo Bills. This will be the last point that I'll make here. Left tackle Deion Dawkins said, Pat Mahomes has only been here once, so he's never been here. Simple as that. Pat has never been in the Bills stadium in full. The environment will be different, and not to say it's in our favor, but stadium is our favor. Stadium is us. That helps us. I don't care what no one says. This is the most dope feeling I've ever had. We're having two back-to-back playoff games at home. Come on now. Like, we get to leave and go eat wings. It's cool. So good luck. I don't think talking shit to Pat Mahomes in the playoffs is a good strategy. I'll just say, I'm going to say that.
Pat, 36 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in the postseason.
You want to hear a fucking crazy Pat stat? They're all crazy.
Also, if they win, he'll have the most playoff wins before turning 30.
Pretty good. I got a good one. Pat Mahomes, I believe, is the all-time playoff leading rusher for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that's wild. That is, yeah. I mean, he's the best. If this ends up being a down year for him, whatever. It ends, you know, if they don't win the Super Bowl, it's fine. I mean, I think they're live here.
Obviously, if you're the Bills, though, like, this is, like, you have to win this one, right? Because, like, this rivalry has been pretty even, but the Bills, all their wins are in the regular season. And the Chiefs are 2-0 against them. They can't get over the juggernaut. Now you're at home, right? Like, this iteration of the Chiefs has some weaknesses. Like, you got to win this one if you're the Bills, right? Like, this is the boogeyman game. Like, if you don't win this one, like, you're going to feel like you're cursed. Like, you can't win this one.
If you can't win this one, then you're just the fucking 80s Bills again. You're the Jim Kelly Bills, right?
I mean, it's going to be interesting because I think there's a lot of storylines in the AFC, and it's funny that it keeps lining up to where, like, all right, well, the Chiefs kind of are getting an okay draw again. Like, and they might, and if we see the Ravens, you know, get them again, because it'll be the same thing we talk about. I think this is the cleanest path the Ravens have had to get to the Super Bowl too. And it's like one of those things with, like, Lamar, like, all right, Lamar, now I've backed you to this point. Like, you got to go do it. Like, it's right in front of you. Like, this is, like, everything is lined up perfectly for you. I don't know. I kind of like the Chiefs a little bit outright, though. Like I said, I think it's a tight game. I'm definitely not saying, like, the Bills are getting stomped. I think it's a tight game. I just think
there's like no scenario where the Bills get stomped.
No. And I just think you're going to give me points with Mahomes. Like, it's typically,
you know, at the end of the day, it's pretty good logic. I mean, this version of the Chiefs, it is like, you know, a lot of the things that have applied to the Chiefs in the past don't apply because this is the worst offense
playoff Pat with points, though.
It is. And he is, like, I guess the other thing is it's like, I see nothing in his play outside of the Raiders game that made me worry about him at all. The Raiders game, he clearly was just, like, so frustrated and was just playing. For Pat, that was a terrible game. Like, he played pretty bad relative to his baseline in that second half. But, like, I kind of did get that feeling against the Dolphins, you know, where it was like, I've been trying to steal away my insides. Like, don't let these dudes hurt you.
He gets that long scramble.
It was the scramble down to the five. And I'm like, dude, he just is so good. That is the man, you know, like, that is the guy who makes me feel like a kid watching football.
He's
again.
Almost underappreciated, though. It is crazy. He's so we're almost in, like, a little, like, he's been in the LeBron zone, like, for a while.
Oh, people, it's already the Chiefs are always whining. They always get all the calls. They always get all the flight. Like, we're already there. We're already to the Brady Manning zone where people just do not want the Chiefs to succeed anymore. They're already over it.
Well, that's the other thing in this game, too, is that Sean Hockley is the referee. And, you know, Bills fans are probably on tilt because they've been so bad with Sean Hockley. They don't, like, he's another one of these guys that doesn't really call defensive pass interference. That was kind of a big deal, too, in the Dolphins game. The Chiefs did get away with a couple of them. We talked about that, like, kind of being a thing for their favor last week. And they kind of got the best assignment this week, too. I know Bills fans are going to probably freak out of it, but, you know, it's one of those things, man. The Chiefs have been absolutely awesome with this crew, and they've been good against, like, with a lot of people, but the Bills have been bad at this crew, and the Chiefs have been really awesome. So it's kind of another weird dynamic here. It's in favor of the Chiefs, like, these little micro edges, having the rest, having the injury advantage, having maybe the referee advantage.
Yeah. Well, I'm praying You got what's your favorite DFS angle? Mine is using Debo instead of McCaffrey. Debo on the 4-game slate is going to be like 5% maybe, and he's 7,700. He's the second most expensive wide receiver, but if Debo outscores CMC, like you're totally free rolling.
I mean, in the larger field stuff, like you just have to hope CMC doesn't shadow realm you. You got to hope it's like a 20-point CMC game, because he's going to be so wildly popular. And even on DraftKings, like, he's not hard to play because I think he's 8-8 on DraftKings, which isn't that hard to fit into a bunch of stuff. So, but larger field, you're going to want to get away from him, even though, you know, it's like a couple spots. We were in this spot a couple weeks ago, the game he left, the Washington game, where he was just going to be so immensely popular, right? And you're just like, the larger your field size goes, you just have to hope he doesn't have the 30 to 40 point game. You get a 20 point game at his salary, then you're just wide open. I think it is wide open at running back. I want to build some wide receiver heavy teams for sure this week. Probably if you're, like I said, larger field size too, you go up. You want to avoid these Lions guys too, outside of Amon-Ra, just because they're going to be so popular. And you're not going to get anything you hit. Like if you get to Jameson Williams touchdown, cool. You and 40% of the field got it. Or Josh Reynolds. So like maybe you flip and you do like a Trey Palmer, right? Like you play the opposite side of that. I like Baker a lot too this week, just because of the stuff we talked about. Baker, Amon-Ra, Mike Evans, starting with something like that as like your core stack. I'm kind of into that.
I like that. I like Justice Hill. I like Dawson mm-hmm. Knox. I really like Tucker Kraft. So I think the one getting a cheap tight end who gets like a touchdown is going to be
pretty big.
I like
Kittle out of the 49ers guys.
Yeah, Kittle is I think he's probably the best tight end play. But my sense is that the Packers actually like Kraft more than Musgrave. He was more productive. He drew more targets when Musgrave was out than Musgrave was when he was playing like literally every snap. And I think the Packers wide receivers will be pretty relatively popular to their projection because it's one of the few ways to save salary. Although, you know, Josh Reynolds, Jameson Williams, those guys will be. And look, if the Chiefs do win, I do think there's like a pretty good chance that Richie James, Hardman, one of these three, Justin Watson, one of these 3K wide receivers does have a decent game. And then Shakir is probably the best, cheap 3K wide receiver.
Yeah, I like James Cook. I like James Cook too. It was a similar spot. It's wild, you know, we didn't really talk about it, but like that game probably centers a lot on James Cook, that Bills game, like what they get out of James Cook. And cause the first time these teams played, like, he was absolutely roasting them, and then like they just started playing Latavius Murray like they do. He in the first quarter of that game, James Cook had 6 touches for 80 yards and a touchdown, and then he had 9 of 18 backfield touches the rest of the game. Like, you gotta just we got a moratorium the Latavius Murray playoff shit. Like, it can't happen, man. We just can't. You can't if you're Sean McDermott, like that can't happen.
They cut Fat Net
Lombardi.
So.
Lombardi's out.
Sad. Guess it's Ty Johnson season. Maybe.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's fun. It's the last one. At least it's the four. They're at least the DraftKings was smart and they did the 4-gamer where you can do main slate 4 games.
Yeah.
Better tournaments, better stuff. FanDuel, they dropped the ball this week. They did the 2-2, and then you have shitty tournaments.
Hate that. All right, yeah. Man. Let's get out of here.
It's
tell
been
the
fun,
people.
Though. Listen,
tell the people what they can find on Sharp Football this weekend. And
yeah, same thing. Hammering these games in super detail. Robust analysis is out there in them streets. But hey, 3 games left. We're having fun. Let's enjoy football. I hope the games are tight. I hope they're good. And
I hope we get at least one classic. I don't care. I would prefer it not to be the Chiefs Bills game for my own health, but just one classic. Out of these 4 games, you know.
I mean, it's the best game on paper for sure. So
yeah. Obviously,
it's the football fan. And we did last week, the one that delivered the Sunday night, we knew it was going to be Rams-Lions was going to be the closest, probably the most intriguing close game it was. So hopefully we get another classic in Bills-Chiefs. I know you don't want it for your own fandom and your sweat.
I just think I'm already feel like my base level heart rate is like a little bit higher this week. Like I'm just feeling a baseline level of anxiety about
Josh
it. And
Allen versus Mahomes, man. Like it's fun.
I hate it. I really would prefer the Chiefs to win every game 50-0, honestly. Like I don't need the stress of like hoping Pat like runs for a first down, like the Chad Henne game against the Browns. I mean, that was like it's an amazing memory, but like it was miserable. Like that
Did any of your,
sucked.
I didn't ask, did any of your buddies end up going last week?
So one of my buddies did end up going. One of my buddies who lives here in St. Louis, not even in Kansas City, he drove for it. And I talked to him on Wednesday, and he said he still felt like shit. He said he still was like he just did not feel right, right? Felt like he had pneumonia or something. He felt like shit still. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Seeing everyone at those two games is just like
Not me,
tough
man.
scenes.
Not for me. All right, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. We are going to go ahead and get out of here. We will be back, I suppose. Yeah. No, we'll be back next week. We'll preview
We'll
the
do two
championship
games.
games. And yeah, everyone, good luck with all your wagers and everything this weekend.